The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Runners get their leads at first and second. Adames, the shortstop, pretty near the bag at second. 1-2 comes, and it's hit in the air to right field. That one's got a chance to go. She's gone! Jock Peterson. A monster postseason player. Jock Peterson comes through again. It's a three-run homer. It is 3-0 Atlanta. Jocktober it is.
He heard him. Let's go, Jock.
All right, go Braves.
Yeah, bust out that pearl necklace. It's Jocktober time and another big day in Atlanta. Got a chance to eliminate the Brewers later this afternoon over at Truist Park. Hey, everybody, it's the Buck Belue Show, punching the clock. 10 to 11 here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7. Streaming at 680thefan.com. Get that fan app. Listen on the smart speaker brought to you by South Point Financial. Buck Belue Show sponsored by Wellstar Health System. 10 o'clock hour on The Fan, brought to you by the Haug Law Group. We got Nerney, the engineer, Derek Thomas, our associate producer, and Road Dog Gillespie is working hard somewhere, our fine producer of the show. Let's get to work, Nerns.
Bucks, big take.
Hand the ball to Charlie Morton on 3 days rest and get the heck out of the way. The Braves need to close out this series today. Morton on short rest is the Braves' best option. So let's roll with it. Let's go all in on this one. Because going back to Milwaukee for Game 5 and facing Brewers ace Corbin Burnes is a little too dangerous. Our best shot is to win Game 4 today. Send Morton out there and try to get 4 or 5 innings out of Charlie. Maybe piggyback him with Waskari Noah, who has a fresh arm, and maybe he can bridge it to the bullpen. That's our best option. And it's the better way to go as opposed to starting Enoa or going with a bullpen game. Enoa's trended down in September as a starting pitcher, but I believe he could give you 2 or 3 innings. Worst case scenario, and I hate to even bring this up, but I think in this case we need to. Worst case scenario, we drop Game 4 today, but we still have Max Fried, who's been lights out, ready on regular rest for Game 5 in Milwaukee. Snit, give that ball to Charlie, please, and let's rock and roll with it. I want to go for the juggler today. I want to put these dudes away, send them back home to Milwaukee, but with the season over. And there are many different options. The Braves, Brian Snitker and his staff have talked about it last night, talked about it this morning. What will they do? Everybody waits to see. And you'll probably hear it here first on 680 The Fan. That said, I got a little college football to pass along.
Tasty. Time for the College Football Nugget, presented by your locally owned and operated Ace Hardware. Find your neighborhood store at acehardware.com.
All right, it's a big day for Georgia, the Bulldogs, and their quarterback, JT Daniels. So let's review. Saturday, JT Daniels at Jordan-Hare Stadium had no pain throwing during the pregame warmups. Yesterday, JT Daniels in Athens had a light throwing day. No pain. Brings us to today, which typically during the season is one of the hardest work days of the week. So JT Daniels is going to test that lad out today. He'll show up on Wednesday, and they'll see how he feels. If he feels good, if there's still no pain, no tugging going on, well, it's time for Kirby Smart and his coaching staff, Coach Monken, the rest to make a good decision for what they're going to do on Saturday against Kentucky. Now, I believe that JT Daniels is trending towards starting the game against the Kentucky Wildcats on Saturday. Let's hear from Kirby. He talked about the quarterback situation yesterday.
We're trying to get JT back. He is much improved this last week at the end of the week. He had a really productive throwing session. I guess it was Thursday maybe. And then for the game, he was able to throw more than he was the previous week. We're going to try to let him throw some today, although today will be a lighter practice. Our guys have gone really six consecutive heavy weeks. Even on Mondays, we've gotten after it in some of the games that didn't go to the fourth quarter. We practiced pretty hard on Monday. So today, that won't be the case. And we had a really physical two games in a row with the Arkansas game and the Auburn game. So there will only be so much we're able to get done today. But we'll look, see how he is and see where he is and see what he can do. That's always the case. But, I mean, I'm not getting into that. Right now I'm worried about making sure we got a healthy quarterback and keeping our quarterbacks healthy by keeping them upright and keeping them protected.
You know, and many of you might be thinking, well, look, after Kentucky, you've got an off week before you go to Jacksonville to take on the Gators. But being a former quarterback, playing at this level, I would hate to go into the Gator game in Jacksonville without playing for a full month. No game reps for 4 weeks. Going to be a little rusty. I don't believe you can afford to do that. He's ready to go. Start JT Daniels on Saturday. Bulldogs also expected to get a boost at the wide receiver position, where they are totally depleted. At least they were last week. Had a couple of freshmen out there running around. Going to a run-first offense. Well, Arian Smith, chances are that he might be back on Saturday. So you got a slot receiver that can pick him up and put him down, running that 4.3 40. It would be great to have Arian Smith back in there. Jermaine Burton, a starting wide receiver, expected to be back. Rosemead Jack Saint, one of the more experienced receivers, a shot to play on Saturday. Let me say it again. For the Dogs to win big, for the Dogs to win the SEC, make it to the college football playoffs, play for a national championship, and, Lord, win one after 41 years, the passing game needs to elevate their performance level. You can beat Auburn, maybe beat Kentucky, beat Arkansas by playing a run-first offense and playing great defense. But you want to win something big, you got to turn this offense loose. You got to unlock it. You got to throw the ball. JT Daniels gives us that best shot. And he needs some wide receivers back in that lineup to get it done. And there's your college football nugget today on the show. Yeah, I just don't believe you can just continue, Nernie, to just line up and run the ball like they did last week and expect to win big. Now, look, it comes in handy when you're on the road, you're playing a team you should beat, like Auburn, who's in transition, to alter the game plan and lead with the running game. I believe we were something around 70% run, 30% pass on Saturday over at Jordan-Hare. But to win big, I don't believe you can do that, Nernie.
So you don't subscribe to the theory that maybe this team has found a way to win, reverting back to the Georgia that we know, the ground and pound. You're not worried about any kind of rust if you try to change up the offense. You know, you're trying to play catch up and the offense has kind of gotten used to running the football and reverting back. I mean, are they going to get a little mixed up if you bring JT and start?
Well, and I think it's a trap. Because, look, you've tried to do that in Kirby's first 5 years as the head coach, and guess what? It never has worked.
Let me ask you that.
You've come up short every year.
Are you confident that if JT comes back, he's not going to get banged up and knocked out again? This guy has missed more football games than he's played in his college career.
I just know when he's in there, he unlocks the passing game, and he makes Georgia more dangerous. Got to score points to win a championship, to beat Alabama, even a Bama team coming off a loss to A&M. So I'm going to go with JT Daniels needs to be the quarterback and Georgia needs to lead with that passing game. We've been down that road of trying to do the ground and pound kind of thing, and we've come up short every time. And I thought that's what the Bulldog Nation wanted. You know, I'm getting some pushback on this. Buck, why don't you like Stetson Bennett? Well, I do like Stetson Bennett. I appreciate Stetson Bennett. I respect Stetson Bennett. But is he going to lead you to what you ultimately want to win? And that is the national championship. I'm just taken back by some of the Georgia fans out there that suddenly want to back off that. You know, you hear all during the offseason about Kirby, you got to open that offense up. And now we get into the season and they don't want to do it as far as the fan base goes. I'm just saying. Hey, man, I'm excited about the next segment. Leo Mazzoni, the legendary Braves pitching coach, will join me coming up next as we chop it up, get ready for a Game 4 win today here at Truist Park. It's the Buck Ballew Show here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7.
You know what? My head hits the pillow.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit jimellis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Toss and turn and things come about, and I don't know what we're going to do tomorrow, quite honestly. I'll be honest with you, I don't. You know, shoot, I don't know. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm anything could happen when I wake up. I'll have a chance to get a cup of coffee tomorrow before I come to the ballpark. I didn't want to risk it today, if you know what I mean.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. The Buck Ballew Show on The Fan, 10 to 11 here on 680, 93.7. Appreciate you hanging out with us. And you know what? If you missed the show between 10 and 11, you can check out the show podcast a little later in the day, so you don't miss anything. Let's head to that Hobson & Hobson newsmaker line, and let's chop it up with Leo.
Time to talk Braves. Let's chop it up. Presented by Haug Law Group, your local personal injury attorneys. HaugLawGroup.com.
Yeah, let's go to that Hobson & Hobson newsmaker line and bring on one of the top 10 assistant baseball coaches all time, legendary Braves pitching coach, Leo Mazzoni. Leo, thanks for getting up with us today.
No problem, Buck. I've been up since 7 o'clock. Come on, I'm not that old yet. Come on.
Man, I know you've been enjoying Braves postseason baseball, Leo.
Yes, I have. I think the pitching has been outstanding. And what I really loved about yesterday's game was to see a catcher who I can't stand how they set up now in big leagues. He's setting up almost standing up to throw the pitch higher than high to Peterson, right?
Absolutely.
So the pitcher hit the target, and he hit it out. And he stood up three times in a row, higher than high, and that's what analytics say he can't hit, right? So now it's higher than high. He hits it out. Beautiful. I loved it. Loved it.
Leo, what would you do with the decision to make? Snit's got to make it in the Braves today. As far as, do you go Charlie Morton on 3 days rest, or do you go Enoa, or go to a bullpen game? What do you think the best option is?
Well, I think, number one, the Braves are playing with house money. You're not down 2-1. You're up 2-1. So in today's game, Buck, I think pitchers really don't know how to get ready to come back a day early. I really don't. And so, therefore, I would go ahead and use one of the starters that's been starting for you during the season, like a Noah or a Spine. I wouldn't call it a bullpen day at all. I can't stand that anyway.
Johnny Holstaff.
Yeah, no. Just play this game. Johnny Holstaff is if you're down 2-1. Play this game like you normally would. Pick one of the guys that's been starting a lot of games for you. Now, I'm going to give you a great example, Buck. in 1995, we're up 2-1 on Cleveland, and we have a chance to bring Maddox back a day early and Glavin back a day early, but we have Steve Avery as our fourth starter. Now, Avery was a great fourth starter, but anyway, this particular year, he was not good. His arm was bothering him, and he was 6-12. So Bobby says, "What do you think, Leo?" I said, "Well, let's go for the juggler and bring those two back." And Bobby goes, "No, I think I feel like I want to start Steve Avery. He's always showed up in some big games in the past." I said, "Well, his arm doesn't feel great." And all he goes, "That's all right." He says, "We'll start Avery." He said, and we'll give that gives us Maddox and Glavin on normal rest. Well, Avery went out and started and gave us six innings of one run and pitched a great ball game. So just because a particular starter hasn't pitched good down the stretch or whatever, that doesn't mean he's not going to jack it up for one game and have a good start. So in today's game, I'm not starting Charlie Morton today. Years ago, now if we're down 2-1, that's a whole different story.
So typically what happens, Leo, how does this go down? Like Snit after the game yesterday, before the guys left, would have a conversation with Morton, ask him how he's feeling, or maybe does that conversation happen earlier today? How does that go behind the scenes?
The conversation happens earlier today, and then the conversation is more going to be with Snit and his pitching coach and how the rest of the coaching staff feels, and then go to the Charlie and ask him how he feels. But a lot of times, in Bobby's case, he didn't ask anybody how they felt. He just said, "You're pitching," you know. So, but no, and I'm just saying that I'm giving Avery as an example because he went out and did that without being 100%. So, anyway, you have your conversations among the staff and everything, and then you make a decision. But the only thing I don't like to hear is don't call it a bullpen day. Whoever was one of your starters during the season, have him start, and don't tell him to give us three good innings. Don't say nothing. Go out and start.
Yeah, so that would be Enoa or Smiley, who are both, I'm sure, itching to get an opportunity to get in there.
And
so
who's saying they can't dial up a good one?
Yeah, no doubt about it.
And then you have Charlie on normal rest if you happen to get beat.
Right, yeah. And then, look, worst case scenario, whatever you do today, you got Max Fried ready to go in Game 5, and that is a wonderful thing to have in your back pocket if indeed you
Absolutely.
Have to go back to Milwaukee. You got to be impressed with what Fried's been doing.
He's outstanding. He's got he has a great angle on his pitches, Buck. He comes straight downhill at you with his fastball, and he's got a couple different breaking balls that he throws. And by the way, Buck, he's got a real good number on number 54.
Yeah, that is a good one. I thought they would have retired that thing by now.
Oh, they will down the road.
Did you see yesterday, Ian Anderson, looks like he was mixing that curveball in a little more and not giving them as many looks at that plus changeup that he's got. Boy, that changeup was devastating. Three-pitch mix yesterday.
Absolutely. And I was hoping he'd stay in, that's me saying that. But you know what? He had to max out his effort in that fifth inning. He had to really bear down and pitch out of that. And I'll tell you one thing right now. Besides, he has a great changeup. And, he can elevate his fastball. And then they swing over the breaking ball. So, that's the way you pitch in today's game. And if you have launch angle guys, Buck, which they call launch angle, we call them uppercutters. And if you have uppercutters in your lineup, you pitch more north and south instead of east and west, and that's what the Braves pitchers have done. But I'll tell you one thing that always gets overlooked. That's one of the best infields in the history of the Atlanta Braves offensively and defensively. From third, short, second, and first, one of the best infields in the history of the Atlanta Braves offensively and defensively.
Offensively and defensively too, man.
That's what I say. Yeah.
Yeah. Those guys are awesome. So look, the Brewers, they were adamant. Council said, look, we're not throwing Burns or our ace in this game tomorrow, even though their backs are against the wall. They got all hands on deck minus their ace today. Is that the way you would have played it?
I think when it's all hands on deck and you're down, you might be able to, start Burns and, maybe not go as long with him. But in today's game, Buck, starters don't go very long anyway. So if you only had a starter averaging five innings a game, but he averages more than that, you can set up a four-man rotation real easy. But if they're going a little more deeper into the game, then you can't.
Brewers have gone 19 scoreless innings.
I know. Don't wake him up, Buck. Wake him up.
I'm sorry to bring that up.
Well, I tell you what. You know what? It's all about one thing. It's all about making pitches. And right now the Braves pitchers are making their pitches. And as far as today's game, you got to look at it like, you know, we're playing with house money. Let's put this thing away. But if we don't, we got our number one and number two starters ready to go.
Well, Leo, enjoy the game, man. We talk about you all the time. We miss seeing you. Thanks for coming on today.
We miss you guys, too. And this is the first time I've been rocking in a while watching this playoff series.
I know you are. We'll be thinking about you today.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Leo Mazzoni, legendary Braves pitching coach. One of the all-time greats, especially around here at 680 The Fan. Well, I've got my NFL top five ready, Nerney. You ready to hear this?
The best in college football and the NFL.
Five, four, three, two, one.
It's time for Buck Ballew's top five.
All right, NFL top five today. Receiving consideration. Well, I got the Chargers, considering San Diego, considering the Dallas Cowboys. How about them Cowboys? Also consider the Ravens. Staying at number five this week, Matthew Stafford and the Los Angeles Rams. Bounced back from that loss to the Cardinals, won at Seattle. Not easily done. Rams staying at number five. Dropping one spot. They go from three to four this week. Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. One at Cincinnati. Now have won four games in a row, I believe it is. Packers looking strong. Got them at number four this week. Moving up from four to three. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 4-1. They've got a plus 45 point differential. Third in the league. They just kill the Dolphins. Tom Brady and the Bucs. Number three this week. Staying at number two, the Phoenix Cardinals, 5-0, plus 62 point differential, number two in the league, coming off wins over the 49ers and the Rams. Cardinals two. Moving up from 3-1 this week. Looks like to me they're the best overall team in the National Football League early in the season. Knocked out the Chiefs in Kansas City. How about their point differential? 108. Totally dominating. Bills Mafia here in Atlanta loves me. Buffalo Bills checking in at one. So here's the top five this week. Rams at five. Packers at four. Buccaneers at three. Cardinals two. The Buffalo Bills number one.
Bucks top five on 680 The Fan. Atlanta's sports station.
And there you go. Let's get back to the Braves. Now, the coffee shop this morning was buzzing, talking Braves baseball. And much of the talk was about who to snit start today. Is it Morton? Is it Enoa? Is it a combination of several things? You know, much of the discussion was about that. But then before I left this morning, it turned to playing Jock Peterson in game four, putting him in the lineup. He's 3-for-3 as a pinch hitter. To me, that would have me believing it's time to get Jock Peterson 3 or 4 at-bats in a game instead of just one. So if it was me, I'd find a way to get Jock Peterson in the game. Unless they started a left-hander, which I believe is on the table. Eric Lauer is a guy that was in that rotation for the Brewers this season. He has not pitched in this series. He's a lefty. But if it's anybody else, man, I'm putting Jock Peterson in the lineup. It's Jocktober, baby. I would rather him get 3 or 4 at-bats than just one. And I know you're probably saying, well, Ballew, who do you pinch hit? Well, you pinch hit Duval or Rosario, who you're taking out of the game to get Jock Peterson in there. Let's hear from Dansby talking about Jock and that clutch gene that he has in the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, I think the sample size is big enough now, right, that's just who he is. You know, he's was in an organization before coming here that obviously had high expectations just like we do, and he was thrown into pressure situations, you know, the last, you know, 5 or 6 years. And like I said, it's important to have those guys on your team come this time of year that you can throw him into any situation and you expect him to be able to produce. And, you know, he just comes up with big at-bat after big at-bat. Like Ian said, I'm glad he's on our team.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Get him in that lineup if you can. Now, if it's Duvall you're taking out of the lineup, I would imagine, look, if it was me, I would talk to Duvall and say this has nothing to do with the base running mistake yesterday. Has something to do with you being 2-for-11 in the series.
But those two hits did come yesterday, though, for Duvall.
Yeah.
Like, for me, so I don't. Maybe we can split this in the middle because, I mean, I know baseball players, they're a superstitious bunch. I mean, if this guy's coming off the bench, going 3-for-3, producing off the bench, maybe have him in, you know, don't start him out, but bring him off the bench and then let him stay in the game after that. So let's bring him in third, fourth inning today.
Yeah, I hear you, nerds, but with me, I would go to the Braves clubhouse store. I'd get some of this pearl, one of those pearl necklaces. I'd put it on and tell Jacques, you're in the lineup today, baby. Rosario, 3-for-10. Now, he hadn't been great defensively, but he can swing the bat. Either one of those options would be satisfactory to me coming off the bench as a pinch hitter if you're going to start Jacques Peterson. I think he deserves a start with the way he swings the bat or has swung the bat in this series, but it'll all unfold, man.
Well, we just have to make sure that when he does come in the game or if he starts, he's using Anthony Rizzo's bat that apparently he stole from him up in Chicago and used yesterday.
That and he has the pearl necklace on.
And by the way, it's got to be, I mean, obviously we're a little bit far along this year. Next year, we got to have a pearl necklace giveaway day at Truist Park, right?
I tell you what, the girls in my house are going, ooh, how could you wear that? Jacques, by the way, saying it, he just thought it looked better than, you know, the typical gold chains that you're seeing everybody wear.
You know, we actually,
or the black chains.
One of our Christmas parties here at 6A The Fan years ago, my wife, we have a raffle, and my wife actually won a pearl necklace.
Oh, so you could borrow hers?
Well,
and
no,
wear it.
I think she pawned it. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it since the night that she won it. So she either doesn't like it or she sold it.
Well, it's really Southern, if you know what I mean. The Southern girls love the pearl necklace. Let's get to that Bulldog Roundtable.
The Fan is proud to be the official sports talk station of the Dogs. And it's time for Bulldog Roundtable with Buck Ballou.
25-20, fourth sideline, 15-10, 5. Get in there! Touchdown!
Bulldog Roundtable is proudly presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union. Find out how you can become one of Georgia's Own at georgiasown.org. Georgia Pack and Load. Move the smart way. Move the pack and load way. Online at gapackandload.com. And by attorney Ken Nugent. One call, that's all.
And that's going to be the ball game. Georgia will win this ball game.
Only on The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
Got a big game on Saturday between the Hedges over in Athens, Georgia and Kentucky. Kickoff at 3:30. Game day's going to be there. SEC Nation's going to be there. See this rugged matchup. Kirby 5-0 against Kentucky. Kentucky 6-0 for the first time since 1950. Wow. They got to be feeling good up in Lexington. Bulldogs defense continues to lead college football. They're allowing a measly 5.5 points a game, and that's a touchdown better than the number two team in college football. The Cats offense averaging 31 points a game. They've gone away from the ground and pound. They have gone to a pass-happy scheme. Now, they're still running the football, but at least they're giving their offense an opportunity to throw it around some. So this is a different scheme than we've been used to seeing with the Kentucky Wildcats. Adam Anderson leading Georgia with 4 sacks, looking to get after the quarterback again this weekend. Had a chance to catch up with the Rome's finest, Adam Anderson, yesterday, and here's that interview. Joining us now on the Bulldog Roundtable, Adam Anderson on that Georgia defense. And before we look ahead, Adam, great job you and the defense doing this past week at Auburn. Really shut down Tank Bigsby in that run game. How'd you guys get it done over there?
As we always talk about every time, it's connection, honestly, and just knowing everybody going to do their job and knowing, you know, if I stay in my gap and knowing Jordan Davis stay in his gap, always going to be in that position.
Pretty good atmosphere at the start of the game. You guys quieted them down a little bit. That's got to be fun, right? You go in their backyard and quiet that crowd down?
Oh, yeah. Every time. I mean, honestly, just being away, just knowing, like, you know, they always going to have a, you know, a bigger crowd than us, you know, at their place or whatever. But, honestly, just able to, like, silence the sound and, honestly, get that going, like, a little head start really always, like, change momentum of the game a lot.
And you guys had multiple guys on that defense stepping up. Quay Walker, N'Kobe Dean, you had Tyndall, Big Jordan, Trayvon Walker stepping up. Man, a number of guys stepping up and playing good football for you last week.
Oh, yes, sir. I mean, what do you expect from, like, you know, leaders on this team? You know, at the end of the day, like, everybody's trying to, you know, produce and, you know, help the team out in their best way.
So you got Kentucky this week, the Wildcats showing up undefeated. Man, you guys, it seems like in the SEC, man, you got a big challenge every week you got to handle.
I mean, when you come to the SEC, you got to realize, like, there are always going to be competition. And they're recruiting the same way any other SEC school. Going to get their best and always going to give you their best. So, honestly, like, you expect that most of the time coming out.
Kentucky, they've made a change offensively with the scheme now. They're spreading people out, trying to throw a little more. In the past, they were all ground and pound with that offense. But what do you expect out of this Kentucky offense this week?
Still, honestly, I feel like Kentucky always been a physical team. So, honestly, I still expect them trying to run the ball as well. And, honestly, like, just the execution they're about to go through during this game.
And you know that Bulldog Nation showing up big for you this week, right? How big of an advantage is that? You see Arkansas had a lot of false starts, jumping off sides a little bit with the crowd noise. Must be fun playing at Sanford Stadium right now with the way you guys are playing.
Honestly, like, just having the fan base we have is, like, one of the best, honestly. Just, like, even as you said, against Arkansas with, like, the two false start in the beginning of the game or so, like, that come big for us. So, like, just having our fans coming out is a bit helpful and thankful for them.
So, you got – I know the fan base is fired up about coming in number one this week in college football. As a player, you guys trying not to think about that, right?
Yeah, I mean – Numbers can mean so much, honestly. It's what you can produce on the field.
Yeah, well, we're looking forward to seeing a great performance out of you guys. That defense, man, you guys are rocking and rolling. Keep up the great work, Adam, and have a big game against Kentucky.
All right, thank you.
Adam Anderson, man, great having him on the show. Hey, Kentucky's got some bad news. You see this? Their defense, they're playing a pretty good brand of defense this year. They will be without two defensive linemen in this game on Saturday. So they take a hit right there. As far as Georgia's offensive line goes, Jamari Salyer pulled out of the game last Saturday with a ankle sprain. Kirby was saying yesterday that the ankle did not swell up really big. So apparently they might be able to get him back in there this coming week in a physical football game, man. Kentucky plays a physical brand of football, and Georgia does too. So this should be a really good matchup there. By the way, Broderick Jones, who came in for Salyer, very impressive. Saw some of the replay last night, watching Salyer come out and then Jones go in, highly thought of, five-star young offensive tackle, second year with the program, came in and really did a fine job at that left offensive tackle spot, which is good to see. Got to elevate down the stretch, man. Got to get better every single week. If you want to be elite, is what Kirby would say. All right, coming up next, the takeover plus the final word. It's the Buck Belue Show here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7.
Pretty cool. Been on the opposing side of it here, especially when...
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Belue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Acuña hit that grand slam, and it gets loud. It's a great fan base, great environment, so it was pretty special. And yeah, to come up big in a moment like that was pretty cool.
It's the Buck Belue Show here on The Fan. Appreciate you hanging out with us. Getting ready for Game 4 this afternoon at Truist Park, Braves and Brewers, 5:15 first pitch. You can hear it here on 680 The Fan. Get that Fan app if you're out and about, listen anywhere, anytime, crystal clear. Streaming it, too, 680thefan.com. So, Nernie, we got the takeover ready today?
Yeah, we got the takeover ready, and we're gonna stick with the Braves because, you know, as great as the outcome was yesterday, there was a spot you mentioned last segment where things got a little hairy, a little infuriating if you're a Braves fan watching the game. And that came with Travis d'Arnaud up to the plate. You had Austin Riley at third base. You had our guy Adam Duvall over at first base. And I'll let you hear the play-by-play. I want to set this up by saying,
what is he doing?
Props to Joe Simpson, because, I mean, a lot of the time, not in this town, we don't have that problem, but a lot of the time, the play-by-play guys can seem a little absent with emotion. Joe Simpson, listen, you can be objective on a national broadcast. This is a local in-town broadcast. I want to hear my broadcasters get this jacked up, you know, for better or for worse.
First and third, one out. 3-1 to d'Arnaud. Swinging a high fly ball to left field. It's going to be deep enough. Getting behind it is Yelich. Tagging at third is Riley. Catch is made. Here comes Austin. Digging for second base is Duvall. And he is tagged out at second base. And I believe he was tagged out before Riley scored.
What are you doing? What are you doing? You got to make sure that run scores. He must have forgotten how many outs there were. They got Duvall at second before Riley crossed. You can't have that happen. That was a horrible base running mistake.
Props to Joe Simpson. I love to see some emotion because, I mean, and I'm sure everybody watching the game or in the stadium had the same reaction. You know, Duvall, what are you doing? You've got to wait until Austin Riley scores. It's almost, you know, I would love to come up with an argument to defend Adam Duvall in that play. The only thing I can think of is he lost track of where the ball was being thrown. He thought maybe, I guess he thought Yelich was going to go home with the ball, or he totally forgot Austin Riley was standing on third base to begin with.
Yeah, lapse in concentration maybe. You know, nothing else. I don't think you can come up with anything else there because, look, Yelich now is regarded as a guy that can't throw anybody out. One of the worst arms for any outfielder in baseball. So, you know, he's got no shot of throwing the runner out at home plate. So you've got to know at that point in time the ball, he's going to throw it to second. And so you got to hold yourself back. Typically, I'm a guy that loves aggressive base running. I want to put the pressure on the defense to make an accurate throw to get you out. But in that situation, you know, Duvall obviously making a big mistake.
No, you know how, you do something great on the field, you'll do the curtain call, come out of the dugout, tip the cap to the fan base.
Yeah.
Adam Duvall, I feel like in between innings, should have been giving a microphone that's hooked up to the PA of Truist Park just so he could apologize. Say, guys, that was my bad.
Yeah, and look, I'm just glad that it the one run didn't come back to haunt us. Right there, Adam Duvall, it needs to be said, too, is one of the reasons why we are where we are right now. Really salvaged a team that was going backwards here when we brought him in. So really thankful for Adam Duvall and what he's brought to the table. Made a critical mistake yesterday, but I'm willing to forgive that.
What are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing, man?
Nobody was happier to see Jock Peterson go deep than Adam Duvall was. And then I'll end on this note. If you were watching Monday Night Football last night, I think it was late in the first half, you had a break-in with breaking news from Adam Schefter, of course, ESPN NFL reporter there, basically saying that it's over in Las Vegas for Jon Gruden. Jon Gruden handed in his resignation yesterday. Mark Davis accepted it. All right, more emails. Now, we heard about the initial email where he referenced D'Maurice Smith, the NFLPA leader of that in a negative light. And more emails surfaced yesterday via
the New York female referees in football.
There was a lot of things he didn't like. Took a lot of shots at the ownership.
Didn't want to draft the gay guy.
Michael Sam. He took issue with Roger Goodell, which he also dropped an explicative on him, taking shots at Goodell for pressuring Jeff Fisher at the time to go out and get Michael Sam. So,
you know, the thing I don't get, Nerney, is that they're going to barbecue Gruden, right? I mean, he got fired. Come on, resign. Give me a break. I mean, he got shown the door. What about Snyder in Washington?
Well, that's the story, because this whole thing came to light because the NFL was investigating Washington.
Yeah, but why are you protecting Snyder?
Well, then that's the story. Is that going to be the next shoe to drop? Because these emails...
I mean, if you want a perfect workplace, doesn't Snyder have to go?
Right. Well, the emails that they were referencing, they were Gruden to Bruce Davis, who works in Bruce Allen, I'm sorry, who works in the Washington front office. So everybody is speculating there is going to be more hell to pay over these emails.
Yeah, be careful with those emails, man. Might come back to get you.
Yeah, there might have been a lot of people deleting things last night.
You want to make live sports on TV more exciting? Now a better way with WinView app. Talk trash and win cash. Learn more. Go to 680thefan.com/WinView to download that app now. Time for the final word. Expect JT Daniels to be back at quarterback Saturday at Kentucky. Taking on Kentucky. If he's not, I'm going to be disappointed. I'll say it again. JT is a better option than Stetson Bennett if you're focused on winning a championship. Some might say go with Bennett against Kentucky, and that gives JT Daniels two more weeks to heal up. I say JT Daniels needs to play football now if he's ready to go. He's missed two games already. Dude needs some game reps to be ready to go to play at a higher level when they meet the Gators down in Jacksonville. The season is half over, and this Bulldog offense has fallen back into a run-first mode. To win a title, they need to be dangerous, scoring points in bunches. Kirby will probably play Bennett early in the game, even if Daniels does start Saturday. But if Daniels does get the start, two things. He's finally healthy, and Kirby Smart sees the big picture. And there's the final word. Nerney, great job. Derek Thomas, we appreciate you. Road Dog Gillespie working hard outside the studio today. We appreciate him, too. He's going to do it for the Buck Belue Show. Go Braves!
All right, go Braves.
Great to see you, Buck.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Belue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.